Exodus chapter 30, verses 1 through 21. It's a passage from the directions that God has given to Moses on the mountain with regard to the ministry of the tabernacle. And we see part of the ministry the furniture of the tabernacle there in the beginning, the altar, and then the response of the people to the tabernacle ministry, to all these signs of the Lord's salvation of his people and of his relationship with them, his covenant with them. Exodus chapter 30, and we'll read verses 1 through 21. Our text will be verses 11 through 16. Let's hear God's word. Thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. 4 square shall it be, and 2 cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof. And thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about it. And 2 golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it, by the 2 corners thereof. Upon the 2 sides of it shalt thou make it, and they shall be for places for the staves or for the poles to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresses the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at evening, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall you pour drink offering thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in a year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numbers them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numbers them. This they shall give every one that passes among them that are numbered, 1/2 a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary. 1 shekel is 20 gerahs. And 1/2 shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Every one that passes among them that are numbered, from 20 years old and above, shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than 1/2 a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord to make atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not, or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. Our text is verses 11 through 16, which I won't read again right now. Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ, before us we have an interesting passage regarding the numbering and the taxing of the people of Israel. And reading it, we might be reminded of that old adage. It rings true again. Nothing is more certain than death and taxes. Israel is taxed even before they were settled in the land of promise. Nobody likes taxes. It is, in our day and age, we regard it as a necessity or a command. We have to do it. It's a duty. We have to pay these things. And so we look at this passage then, and we see what this tax that is placed upon Israel by God. How are we to look upon that? Is this a negative thing in that same way? Is the lesson that comes from this a lesson for us to pay our taxes? No. Well, this is not simply taxation of the people. It's not simply such a mundane matter, no, but it has significance. And indeed, while there is a practical purpose for the money collected at the end, it finances the tabernacle ministry, God also gives it a theological significance. It's to remind them of something. It's to place it before them. It's to imprint it on their hearts and on their minds. And thus we can relate it to us. We can give our attention to this passage and learn from this passage something that Israel was to learn. We can apply that to our own hearts and to our own minds. God has a purpose in this. This taxation happens when the people of Israel are numbered. And its meaning then reveals something concerning who the people of Israel are before God. It reveals something concerning their covenant status before God. The money of these taxes is given for the service of the tabernacle, and so that God says it might be a memorial. We'll look at how this indeed was a memorial, a testimony, or a declaration concerning the people of Israel. Again, we read in our text, verses 11 to 16. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel, or when thou countest the number of Israel, after their number, then thou shalt give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give, every one that passes among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. And half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Every one that passes among them that are numbered, from the 20 years old and above, shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord to make atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. The covenant God speaks to Moses in these verses. And we're considering first here, by the way, a declaration to the ownership of Israel, how these taxes were a declaration to the ownership of Israel. God speaks to Moses in these verses saying, when you take the sum of the children of Israel after the number, when you number them, or if you number them. God is not necessarily commanding a census to be taken of the people at this moment, but rather seems that he, knowing all things, knows that this is going to be necessary, or perhaps that he will command it later on. And for practical reasons, it will be necessary. For instance, in Numbers chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, God says to Moses and Aaron, take a census of all the congregation of the children of Israel by their families, every male individually from 20 years old and above, all who were able to go to war in Israel. Israel needed to know all who could go to battle, to enroll them in her armies, to order them, to organize them. And at that time, then they were to take this tax. Within our nation too, there's Census Canada to gather information concerning the people, those who are working, the ages of the people, to determine the needs and the responsibilities of the government, and those who will need assistance, and so on. and this numbering then as a practical purpose. Israel needs to know, the government of Israel needs to know in terms of lodging space and in terms of how they're going to arrange the camp. God had given specific instructions as to which camp was to, or which tribe was to camp on this part of the tabernacle or on this part of the tabernacle. And knowing the numbers of each tribe, they could then delegate certain space to that tribe each time they set up camp. But of course, it also has a theological importance because this is the people of God. The psalm we just sang, Psalm 87, Psalter 166, speaks of God numbering His people. It shows the importance of each one individually. So also for us as well, each one individually, you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as a child of the Lord, are counted and have a place within His kingdom. And He will keep you all the way unto glory. But God says that when they number the people, verse 12, then they shall give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numbers them, that there be no plague among them. This numbering then was joined to a taxing of Israel and receiving the information concerning the census. They could know how much they should be receiving from the tax. Indeed, if everyone was taxed the same amount, just a quick, simple math question, right? To figure out a multiplication question to figure out how much money there should be. If you have this many people, this much should be received. And so it was practical to do this taxing at the same time as the numbering. Therefore, the Lord commands that it be done together and that this be done carefully. It must be done in a certain way. A ransom must be paid to the Lord. Half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary, or according to the sanctuary shekel. Verse 13. Half a tabernacle shekel was about 1/5 of an ounce of silver. God was not exacting a huge amount from the people of Israel. So why this tax then upon the people of Israel? God says it must be done in order that every man gives a ransom for his soul to the Lord when they are numbered, lest there be a plague among them. This money is an offering unto the Lord. This half shekel was not first of all a sum of money given for the tabernacle, but it was given to the Lord. Indeed, it served a practical purpose in furnishing and maintaining the tabernacle and providing for those who ministered in the tabernacle. But there was a theological purpose. It was given to the Lord. And it was to be a memorial to the Lord. The people were to remember. It was to bring to their mind, to their recollection, that they were the Lord's. They were under His power. They were under His government and His jurisdiction. They belonged to Him. We see this by the fact that God says that this tax is as a ransom for their souls. A ransom, children, is the amount of money paid to set someone free. The amount of money to pay to set a slave free. Exodus chapter 21, verse 30 says, if there is imposed on him a sum of money, a ransom, then he shall pay to redeem his life, whatever is imposed on him. To redeem that slave, to let that slave go from his master, you to pay his master the amount of money. Now, this is not the first time that is people of Israel were commanded to give a ransom unto the Lord. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 13, just before Israel was going to be released from the land of Egypt, just before they're going to be released as slaves, God says, but every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem." Israel was commanded by God to give the firstborn and even the firstborn of their children to the Lord. Why? Well, God gave this command prior to redeeming them from the hand of Pharaoh. Redeeming them, letting them go from the hard master Pharaoh, from their bondage, from their slavery to Egypt. Egypt's called the house of bondage, right? The Ten Commandments, which you read. Under Pharaoh, they were slaves. And he was hard and cruel. He did not care for their life or for their welfare. And God, in his mercy and in his grace, came to Israel and redeemed Israel from Pharaoh. He paid the price. He released Israel from under his yoke. Upon Egypt, God sent a plague upon their firstborn, killing them. And God commanded Israel then to sacrifice the firstborn of animals, but to redeem their firstborn sons to the Lord. That is, to pay the price for their life by giving an animal in his place. God is emphasizing then to Israel that they were the Lord's. Not just their firstborn sons, but all Israel. They are the Lord's. They are the Lord's firstborn. They are the Lord's son. Altogether, they're the Lord's son. And so instead of taking, or to show that they are his, they are to pay this ransom price. God has given them a memorial and declaring that he has paid the ransom price for all the nation of Israel. They are his. Israel, according to their sin, according to their flesh, they would think, well, why should we pay this to the Lord? Are we indeed the Lord's? We may have benefited from Moses and his leadership, but we are our own people. We see this as they're about to enter into the land of Canaan the first time. And they did not enter in because of their unbelief. And they thought they could make the decision themselves. They looked to themselves and measured it up. Those people are too great for us. And see, they were saying, we are our own people. They're not looking to the Lord and placing themselves in the Lord's hand, recognizing that the Lord, their God, is the one to whom they belong. And he is the one who then has care of their souls. But they looked at it from being their own people. We make our own decisions. And then when Moses says, well, then you will not enter because of your unbelief, then some of them still say, well, actually, no, we will go up. We can do it. Moses said, now, Moses showed that they are being entirely rebellious and that they will go up without the Lord. They were acting in the mind of the sinful man, the rebellious one against God who looks to himself. The Israelite will look at all that he had, all his possessions. And in his sin, he would say, these cattle, I had to take care of them each day. I was the one who fed them. I'm the one who milked them. The gold jewelry, I was the one who slayed for those Egyptians. I held out my hand on the way out and I rightly acquired it. This is our nation. This is my life. And same for people today. This is my life, people say. The thinking often is, I can do what I want. I can get a job I like. I can marry who I want. I can live with who I want. I can vacation when I want. Why can't I buy that car? I work for this money. It's my money to spend as I like. To think of a God who has claims on me, on my time, on my energy, on my plans, on my wishes, that's too restrictive. But that's exactly God's point to Israel. They are His. The people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise, God says. In Deuteronomy 4, God says, the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be His people, an inheritance as you are to this day. They are counted then, and each one belongs to Him. They are taxed to show that they are His property. He brought them out and paid for them. He was the one who exerted Himself and acted on their behalf to save them from death, destruction, and extinction. Their lives they owe to Him. And without a memorial, would they remember? Would you remember? Because it's true of us as well. We are just as prone as Israel to think of ourselves in terms of ourselves, to think of ourselves in terms of our own strength. As James says, we talk about, we're going to do this tomorrow. We're going to engage in this business action tomorrow. We're going to go visit these people, our in-laws, tomorrow. He says, no, if the Lord wills, you will. We are created by Him. We are creationally His. You breathe the Lord's air. You use cells that were created and sustained in life by God. You stand on His ground. And yet, in our sinful flesh, we'd say we are our own. But yet, God has made us. And not just that. Not just are we His creationally by the fact that He's made us, but we are His covenantally. He is the one who has opened up His covenant with us. He is the one who has declared in baptism, I am the God who saves you. I am the God who washes sinners of their sin. Look unto me and be saved. To be owned by God covenantally, not just creationally, is a privilege far beyond anything else. Children, young people, God says of you, you are His own special people. You belong to Him. We profess then by faith that we are not our own, but belong body and soul, both in life and death, unto Jesus Christ. God says you are not your own, but you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see what a difference that makes in life. In our sinful flesh, the way which we're often prone to live, we think, well, I can do this. We arrange our day as if it's all up to us. We go about our living as if we are the master of our own destiny. And yet, if the Lord has saved us, if that's what we profess, then we need to live for Him. The beginning of the day, we ought to say, Lord, this day, which is a day that you have given to me. And though indeed we have our responsibilities and we have our duties before us and we even have these joys, these recreations that we in good conscience may do, it should always be in a submission to the Lord. If the Lord wills, being ready at any time to give up our plans if it should be the Lord's will. Recognizing that even as tragedy hits, even as disappointment comes into our life, it's not our own life. We belong unto the Lord. Israel is given a declaration of their ownership. Secondly, it's a memorial to their salvation as well, to the salvation of Israel. There's a great blessing of being the Lord's congregation. God says here that they are to pay a half shekel as a ransom for their souls. And the word ransom is the same word for atonement It means literally a covering of themselves, of their sins and iniquity from this plague, which they deserve. God would send a plague upon those who still stand in themselves, who reject God's ownership of them, who prefer to be their own and slaves of the world. But God averts the plague. He averts His own anger for coming upon these who pay this ransom. Israel was to remember then by this their own need before God. They needed to be redeemed. It was not simply for their physical life. It was not simply their physical slavery in Egypt. But God says here, for their souls. For their souls. For the life within them. For their very beings. They must be redeemed. Everyone. Verse 14, the rich shall not give more, the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give this offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for their souls. This means that no one in Israel needed the salvation less than anybody else. The poor do not need salvation more than the rich, whether high class, low class, whether master or servant, whatever their status is. Whether they're upstanding or whether they're criminal, they all need redemption. The price of each and every soul is the same. Israel then was by paying this ransom, was showing that she was remembering what the Lord had to do to bring her out of her sins. And out of her slavery, out of the oppression of Pharaoh. And ultimately then, because this is the covenant arrangement of God with His people, the covenant relationship that He has with them, it was for their spiritual survival. They were doomed as a people in Egypt, but God brought them out. He saved them. And thus it's a beautiful picture of our salvation as well. And it points so fittingly to Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. True salvation. The purchase price of our souls from the bondage of sin and from condemnation. It only comes through Jesus Christ, who is that price that is paid on behalf of us to bring us out of our Egypt. God gave His firstborn Son so that we might be redeemed, bought out of our sin. Christ is the ransom. Christ is the purchase price for this redemption that we so terribly needed. Paul says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." And Paul, therefore, speaks of the church of God as a church which Christ purchased with His own blood. The church is the Israel that God has paid this ransom for. You see, as God placed this tax upon Israel, He didn't exempt Himself from it. That tax was just a memorial. Christ actually performed this ransom for us. God actually gave up His Son for us. Now, what be said? What be asked? Who did God pay this ransom price to? Who did Christ pay this ransom price to? If God redeemed Israel out of Egypt and Christ redeems us from our sins, if there's a price that is paid, who is that price paid to? Well, Scripture, when speaking of Israel's redemption from Egypt, it does not specifically say. But it does say that Israel's life is owing to the Lord. His wrath, the plagues that came upon Egypt, that all pointed to the fact that Israel was deserving of it as well. That Israel deserved that same wrath, and they deserved also to be under the oppression of Egypt. is only because of God's grace. Israel is therefore commanded to pay the ransom price to God, not to Pharaoh. This tax goes to God. And Christ pays the price, not to Satan, who is our wicked master. Not to sin. Christ pays the price unto God, to His justice. Because it's all against Him that we have sinned, and our sins would make us debtors to Him forever. Christ redeems us unto God. And God would have Israel then to have a memorial that would teach them that they are His purchased possession. That He is Jehovah. God has covenanted to bring that redemption unto them. And they therefore must look, and they must look unto Him in faith for that salvation. This memorial is to be that which brings to them the exercise of faith. The congregation, now that God has provided us a Savior, now that He has given to us a Redeemer, do we not have a ransom to pay? A memorial to pay? A tax? Should we be bringing in a half shekel as well? No. No such tax. Because that's been paid already by Jesus Christ in full. To do so would be to say that Christ did not pay the full ransom for us. It's completed. Notice here, a tithe, so something different than a tax for Israel. But it's not that God has not given us any memorial. God would have us to remember that we are His purchased possession. He would have us to remember, wouldn't He? That He has brought atonement for our souls. That He has paid the price. If He would have Israel pay this tax, to remember what He's done in Egypt, and to look forward to what He will do through Jesus Christ, or would He allow us to forget? No. Now that God has provided for us a Savior, Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, we are given signs and seals of His covenant, so that we might remember Him. We are given the Lord's Supper. Take, eat, this is My body. This is a memorial of My body, of my sacrifice that I've given for you. That was paid on your behalf. You ought to have been the one who paid this. But to fulfill justice on your behalf, I have given Myself in your place. Will you then take these memorials, not just into your minds, not just into your mouths and stomachs, but into your hearts, seeing by these signs and seals how much we needed that ransom price to be paid for us, and how Christ has fully paid that price to God? How special it is, congregation, that we are His. That we belong unto the Lord. Therefore, the Lord would have us to ever remember the price that was paid. Not just that the price has been paid, but the price. The price of Christ's blood for us. We are His servants then. You belong to Him. Let us therefore seek to glorify God as we belong to Him. Let us live as His, for His we are. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank You, O Lord, that in Your covenant mercies to us, You have manifested grace on our behalf. You have acted in and through Your Son to fully redeem us from our sins, deliver us from hell, You are gracious. You are merciful. Lord, we pray then, as we come to the table, that we might come with believing hearts, fully assured, Lord, that Jesus Christ, through the anguish of His suffering on the cross, has fully satisfied Your wrath against sin for us. Lord, may this be a comfort to our souls. Lord, we pray that by this You would strengthen us in our battle against sin, that we not allow sin to have its mastery over us, that we not run back to our former masters, but rejoicing in the liberty we have in Christ Jesus, we would joyfully proclaim ourselves His bond slaves. Lord, we pray then that You administer to us through this sacrament, and that Christ be presented and glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.